on for Saturday. The wind will quickly pick up. We'll see these showers scattered during the morning but becoming heavier and more frequent come the afternoon. Again, they could be wintry across the higher ground, and we've got a top temperature of 5 to 6 degrees. That's your forecast.
Thanks, Nina. Nina Ridge there at the BBC Weather Centre. And those winds will be featuring in the late night shipping bulletin at 12 minutes to 1. But now on Radio 4, White Beach, and Jermaine Greer concludes her story about her rainforest years. After discovering that her patch of land is a hotspot of biodiversity, Jermaine has also uncovered a rare aristocrat among its magnificent trees. But the White Beech is notoriously difficult to propagate. However, on her return to Australia 6 months after being 6 months in England, one of her helpers has something to show her.
At first, I didn't recognise the five plantlings that stood stiff and erect in the loose planting medium. Five furry stems, each bearing a single pair of leaves. The leaves of the baby beeches were different in shape from those of the adult tree, but the juvenile foliage was the same unmistakable kitchen cabinet green. Every day, more baby beech trees popped up until we had 150 of them, standing proudly side by side in their old polystyrene box. I don't know how people feel when they win the lottery, but I'll bet they're no happier than I was then. The baby beeches were planted out in 2006. Some are already quite big trees, others are holding their breath, but none has actually died. Having acquired their complement of invertebrate species, they're already full members of our forest community. As I walk under the canopy of our baby forest, my heart quickens with a sense of adventure. I struggle to comprehend what I observe. Hordes of unfamiliar insects appear and lay billions of eggs on trees too small to survive the infestation. What should I do? The answer comes: watch, wait, live, learn. The forest isn't just the trees, it's everything that lives in and on the trees, every fungus, every bug, every spider, every bird, every serpent. As a newcomer to this community, I can't delude myself that I should or can control it. I'm glad to be the forest's fool. The most important creatures in the rainforest are the smallest, the microbes and the invertebrates. The survival of the forest ecosystem depends on them. A rainforest, being a closed ecosystem, survives by recycling itself. A leaf falls, bacteria help it to decay. Worms pull the dead matter back into the soil. A tree falls, wood-chewing beetles transmute its timber into dung, which is quickly mineralized and becomes soil. If the process should slow down, the survival of the forest is threatened. So no matter how serious an insect infestation of young trees at CCRRS may turn out to be, we leave it to run its course. The Cave Creek invertebrates deserve a book of their own, and perhaps one day they will have one. I've photographed magenta katydid nymphs, black and white striped worms, huge hawk moth caterpillars, stick insects as long as an arm, iridescent blue flies with sizzling gold eyes, male and female longhorn beetles in each other's arms, fireflies, turquoise dragonflies with transparent black wings, and giant land snails. I can put names to no more than half of them. Of the 98% of terrestrial species that are invertebrates, only a fraction has ever been described. An estimated 5.5 million species await description. The creek is thronged with water mites, water fleas and shrimps, as well as the nymphs of stoneflies, mayflies and dragonflies. More and more of them since we began to remove the weeds that infested the waterway. The most famous inhabitant of the creek is another invertebrate, a blue crayfish. After torrential rain, we come across them washed out of their creeks and wandering about on land. When they see us coming, they rear up and wave their red, white and blue claws in a vain attempt to strike fear into our hearts. The creek is one place the sun can always get to, and so the weeds come back year on year and year on year we remove them. As a result, even our threatened frog species have been able to build up their numbers. These days, when the rains come, the frog chorus is deafening. Frogs are stupendous creatures, because even when they're metamorphs no bigger than a fly, they can hear and see and catch prey and leap 40 times their own length. It's tempting to think that they're smart. An old green tree frog who turned up on the bedroom windowsill one evening sat there through the night and the whole of the following day, apparently dozing. But every time I turned to look at him, I'd find his horizontal pupil trained on me. He was as big as a half-kilo bag of sugar and much the same shape. To get to such a size, he must have outwitted a long line of predators. I didn't try to pat him, for fear that my hand on his silky green skin would have felt scalding hot. He was still there when I fell asleep the next night. In the morning he was gone, as quietly as he came. Tree frogs are the insignia of rainforests the world over. Of the dozen or more species that make their home at Cave Creek, my favourite is the Cascade tree frog. Ours are pale green, with pearl-white bellies, and their skin is shagreened, so that it looks like frosted glass. To my eye, they're the most beautiful tree frogs of all. There's nevertheless a good deal that we don't understand about these little creatures. Immature frogs are very seldom found, so the current thinking is that this is one tree frog that ascends to the canopy as a juvenile and doesn't come down again for 2 or 3 years until it's mature and ready to mate. Until we have ways of observing canopy life without disrupting it, this hypothesis can't be verified. The rainforest has fewer lizard species than you'll find in other types of habitat, but that's not to say that we don't have at least as many lizards as we have frogs. My favourites are the eastern water dragons that have come into their own since we reforested the headland above the creek. In warmer weather, they can be found basking on the causeway and all the way up the steep track to the gate. As the car creeps by, they lift their heads and look directly into my eyes, holding my gaze for a second or two before leaping down the rocks. They are the more remarkable because a fossil dragon from the Miocene, recently found at Riversleigh, is almost identical. Most people would be more impressed by the Cave Creek lace monitors. These are largely diurnal, but they almost always run off, except when they're in courtship mode, when nothing seems to faze them. One warm afternoon I was weeding a patch of analemma, when I noticed a full-grown lace monitor, a good 7 feet long, close beside me. At first I thought he was just basking in the sun, and then I saw the head of the female, less than half his size, emerging under his foreleg. By inserting his tail under hers, the male was manoeuvring one of his hemipenes into her vagina. He would thrust rhythmically for 5 minutes or so, and then she'd slip out from under him. I expected her to run away, but she stayed still as he rested, waiting for him to move towards her again. As he slid his body over hers, he touched her gently all over the head and neck with his forked tongue, almost as if kissing her. The most visible and the most spectacular of the Cave Creek fauna are the birds. Altogether, over 100 species have been observed. We have lewins, honey eaters, grey goshawks, wedge-tailed eagles, peregrines, kingfishers, even little cormorants. Large birds nobody has much time for are our brush turkeys. They've taken to hanging round the car park scavenging for scraps and scuttling clumsily out of the way of the traffic. I've seen tourists throw stones at them, apparently under the impression that pelting turkeys is one of the legitimate amusements afforded by the national park. I love the Cave Creek turkeys, not merely because their tails are attached sideways, but also because the first verification I had of my belief that it was possible to rebuild a rainforest was when the turkeys moved into our very first planting and made a huge mound. In the car park, they're abject, greasy-looking creatures. But in the forest, where they're truly wild and very timid, they are glossy and their naked heads bright red. For a few weeks one winter, I was accompanied everywhere I walked by a male brush turkey, resplendent in full mating rig. If he was foraging in the garden when I set off, he'd trot along behind me. If he wasn't, he'd catch me up. If I stopped, he stopped. He caused me some anxiety when he gobbled up a large slab of soap he found in the outdoor laundry, but it didn't seem to do him any harm. A forager I didn't expect to see in the rainforest is the rufous scrub bird. But one evening I startled the bird that flew up and landed a few yards ahead of me. It continued to forage, poking around under the fallen leaves. The dusk made it hard to see, but as I turned away, it uttered its loud, whip-cracking call. It's one bird that has all but disappeared as its coastal rainforest habitat has been built over. To see a rufous scrub bird thriving at Cave Creek is worth every penny that the rainforest has cost me. You may be wondering if I still see the regent bowerbird who persuaded me to buy the land in the first place. When we have big rain, one comes to the biggest kwandong every day to groom himself, combing the rainwater through every dazzling feather as I eat breakfast on the veranda 100 yards away. His wife and juveniles come with him, and sometimes other males, till there are 5 or 6 in the tree. What can they be doing? What explanation can there be for all this socializing? All I can hope is that I'll live long enough to find out. It is done. The project is now run by Friends of Gondwana Rainforest, a UK-registered charity, and we're well on the way to transferring the property to an Australian not-for-profit company. Am I bereft? No. If I've not learnt in my 74 years that to love and care for something you don't need to own it, then I've learnt nothing. The day I gave away all the cash I had to the rainforest was one of the happiest days of my life. Why Gondwana Rainforest? Because that's what the Cave Creek Forest is. It's a treasure house of species that have survived almost unchanged from the Cretaceous, when the world was divided into two supercontinents, Laurasia and Gondwana. When Australia was part of Gondwana, it was covered with subtropical rainforest, which remains the most ancient vegetation type to be found in the Great South Land. Many of our plant families can trace their descent back to the dawn of the evolution of flowering plants 100 million years ago. The chain of sites, in all 50 separate reserves, cover 3,665 square kilometres and represent the most extensive area of Gondwana rainforest to survive anywhere in the world. Friends of Gondwana Rainforest are concerned for subtropical and temperate rainforest wherever it survives. CCRRS is our flagship, where we learnt how to rebuild a forest and how exciting and gratifying it is to give it your best shot. The process by which the forest is being given back to itself is complicated and drawn out, but now that it's begun, a great wrong is on its way to being righted. The stupendous phenomenon that is the forest will have time and space to come into its own again. The charity has been set up to keep the work going after I've gone to be recycled. One of the workforce said to me the other day, "Does that mean that I could still be working here when I'm a grandfather?" I truly hope so.
Jermaine Greer has been reading from White Beach. The programme was abridged and produced by Jane Marshall Productions for BBC Radio 4. Now, the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Saturday, the 1st of February. There are warnings of gales in all areas. The general synopsis at 1800. Low 150 miles west of Rockall, 937, expected southwest Scotland, 965 by 1800 Saturday. New low expected Bailey, 959 by same time. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. Viking, north at Cira, south at Cira, northeast 40s. Southeasterly 7 to severe gale 9, occasionally storm 10, except in north at Cira. Rain or snow, moderate or poor, occasionally very poor. Southwest 40s, Cromarty, 4th, Tyne, Dogger. Southerly, veering southwesterly for a time, 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9 later.